Welcome to the Easy Yoga Podcast with myself, Gemma Neese, Easy Yoga founder, author, yoga coach, and relationship coach. It is my pleasure to have you here and for you to feel energized, calm, happy, and for you to have the perfect relationship with yourself, your partner, and your family without seeing a family therapist, changing your personality, or leaving your job. You will learn techniques and things to help you guide you through a better life through health, meditation, yoga, journaling, nutrition, and all things yoga, for you to have the life you deserve and crave, and for you to love yourself on a soul level. Thank you so, so much for being here today, and I am so grateful and so full of love to have you here. Enjoy this next episode. Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode from Easy Yoga, all things relationships, yoga and well-being. And today my special guest is Aggie Jordan. Aggie is the former founder and CEO of Jordan Delonte, a training and contract management company. Since selling this business, writing has been her life's work. A former small business columnist for the Dallas Times Herald and Prime Woman, an online magazine, and a writer for The View, the monthly magazine for the Sun City Shadow Hills community in Indigo. Aggie has produced over 60 articles for these publications. Aggie has enjoyed traveling with her husband to over 75 countries. Wow! So welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, you are welcome, and I am very happy to be on your show.
I'm so excited to have you.
This podcast is wonderful.
Oh, thank you. So how did you kind of get into what you do now, but also off camera, we were just talking about your book. So yes, tell me more about your book.
Well, my book is called A Woman's Voice Should Be Heard. And my voice was silent for about 14 years when the rest of the title is My Journey from the Convent to the Battle for Women's Equality.
I love that title. That sounds so interesting.
Except that I was a teacher for 8 of those years. A nun's voice is pretty much controlled by the church and what you say and how you say it. I discovered that, but I really didn't discover it until I started writing the book.
Oh, really? Wow.
Because people would ask me, why did you leave the convent? Why did you enter the convent? Why did you stay? Every time someone asked me that question, I felt incomplete. Mm. I felt like I gave them an answer that didn't have depth of who I was. And so I began to think about it, and people had asked me to write the story, and I began thinking and began writing and found that I was raised in an Irish Catholic family. And that means that Irish and Catholic dictates how you were raised.
Really? Wow.
Oh, yes. And you have rules and regulations, and most of them are by your parents and your parents' brothers and sisters and your parents' mothers and fathers, etc. And wow. I came from a very large family, so it was almost like blocks and blocks of relatives who had immigrated from Ireland.
Okay, yeah.
So it was quite Irish and quite Catholic.
Yes.
So I think being raised in that environment was certainly something that led me to it. So the first part of the book is on that, and the second part is what it was like to be in the convent. But after that, I begin to talk about my transformation. Why did I leave the convent? And after 14 years, I was happy. I was happy teaching. There were lots of things that happened, but basically, I wasn't an unhappy person dedicated to God.
Okay.
Then I went to the University of Notre Dame, and two things were happening then. We had the Vatican Council of the Church trying to make changes in the Catholic Church. Women did not have any position in the Catholic Church up to that time of any worth.
Wow.
We produced children is what we did.
Yeah, that was it.
Going on at the same time was another movement, and they were intersecting the women's movement. I went to the University of Notre Dame. I was there for about a year for my doctorate, and I listened to this German theologian who came to talk to us about the things that were happening in the church. And he made the statement, men are the action makers and women are the male organs. Well, imagine the reaction,
yeah, Emma, definitely,
of the women in that audience.
No way.
We were, as you can imagine, we were very upset. I went back to the dorm. It was our women's dorm. This wonderful woman, Sister Suzanne, a theologian, knowledgeable, said to all of us, a couple hundred of us there, how dare he?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Was that an awakening to me? Because I had done anything they said you should do in the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was the beginning where I met all these wonderful women. I know you know this, Gemma. There is nothing like having women friends.
Yeah.
What would we do without our women friends?
Definitely.
And these women were so great, brilliant women. Their religious communities had made some changes and mine didn't. Mine was much more conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a whole learning period there. That was my transformation. That was a turning point in my life.
Yeah.
Where I began to value being a woman and watching what was happening to women in the world.
Yeah.
And knowing that I should not allow that.
Yes.
And for my entire life, all this time, I have been doing that. I have been working to allow women to become equal partners in this world. And
that's,
you know,
amazing.
There's still a lot of work to be done, don't you?
Yeah. Especially with like the 9-to-5 working job and time wise, and a male's cycle is 24 hours, ours is 28 days roughly. So yeah, it's just all set up for male working.
And then for women who are working and have children and have the responsibility for children, whether they're single mothers or not, whether they have a partner.
Yeah.
It doesn't lessen the burden.
Yes.
The burden is heavy. The burden is very heavy.
Yeah.
And we need to support one another. You know, right now, the Supreme Court in the United States, I know you know this, I know your listeners know this, that they reneged on the abortion.
Yes.
They have said that abortion is not a federal, is not constitutional and must be sent back to the states. Mm. Right now, we have almost 20 states that have in some way either limited or forbidden abortion.
Wow, that's massive, isn't it?
That is massive because far right religions and conservatives have controlled these states and the state legislature.
Yeah.
And right now, my message to all women, I don't care what country you're in, you have to have your voice heard.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
You have to be concerned about your vote.
Yes.
Don't sit home and don't allow your friends to sit home or your daughters or your granddaughters, because they are affected. In the United States, I had all those rights for 50 years that a woman has because it was constitutional.
Yeah.
And on that June day, my granddaughters didn't have them.
Yeah. It's awful, isn't it?
I mean, when you think of it, they didn't have them. And there are so many countries where that's still true.
Yeah.
And it's not just abortion. It's women's right to her own health decisions.
Yeah definitely. Does that go back to Catholic as well? So I don't know enough about the Catholic to say, but is that still true? I know that there was possibly that if you were Catholic, you couldn't have an abortion.
Oh, yes, that's still very much true in the Catholic Church. Although I do have to give some quarter to Pope Francis, because Pope Francis has said to his priests, lay low, do not get involved in that argument. We do not want to alienate the women in our church. And not that it's still not a rule, it is still a rule, but most Catholic women, I mean, there's a rule that you don't practice birth control too, but 98% of women of childbearing age practice it. I mean, we have to make those decisions for ourselves and our family. So yes, that's true, but do not make assumptions about Catholic women and their decisions, because they will make their own decisions.
That's good. Me too.
And it's not so much, it's more a belief in who your God is and what kind of personal relationship you have with your own faith.
Yeah.
And your faith may be part of a religion, but it may not be.
Yeah.
It may be something else.
Yeah.
And it is, I believe it's our responsibility to follow what we believe and what makes sense to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that we were given intelligence, and we were given a sense of who we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And with those two things, we should be able to make our own decisions.
Yeah. We really should. And I love that the title, A Woman's Voice Should Be Heard. And where does that kind of come from? I suppose what you've just said, because it needs to be out into the world with the memoir as well. So with a memoir.
Yes. Yeah. That's why I wrote the memoir, so that the women, and especially because of what happened in the United States with the Supreme Court, women need to know that we had to fight for those rights. And when they're taken away, we have to fight again.
Yes.
And it history teaches us lessons. During that time, I started a business. And my business was primarily in the beginning to train women and managers to assimilate into the corporations. And so I was dedicated to that. My company grew, and I needed to get a loan from a bank. And the bank said to me, you may not have the loan unless you have your husband sign for it.
Wow.
Well, my husband was not involved in the business. My husband had his own job. I wrote the proposal. I knew what the money was. I figured the budget. I did the accounting.
Yeah, it's your business.
And it was. So, and there was a law passed the year before in the United States in 1976 that's called the Fair Finance Act, Women's Fair Finance Act, I believe, but that's generally the title.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, I'm not familiar with that. I said, well, I think you better get familiar with that. Anyway, I played a game with him. I asked him to role play with me and pretend I was a single woman. And I left the bank. I came back in the bank. He agreed to play it with me. This is the president of the bank. I guess he wanted to get rid of me, however he was going to do it. He sat down, he went through the proposal pretending I was a single woman. And his remark was, I will present it to the board.
Wow.
He said, I don't believe they are male chauvinists. Well, I never used that word. That was his word. It worked. So we have to be creative in whatever we can do to let our voice be heard.
Yes.
And that's, I guess that is my message from the book. And there are a couple, I sued the Small Business Administration for keeping women out of a program where we could do business with the government. And then we all, and the stories are in there, and we fought a whole group of women in Dallas for getting contracts with large corporations. And we belong to a group called the Minority Business Council, and they threw out 95 white women because they said we weren't minorities. Really? Well, we fought that. We sent letters to 250 CEOs. And eventually, we didn't get in that group, but they established another group for women.
Wow.
So we were able to get in that.
So all of your, yeah, hard work, determination, it paid off eventually.
It worked, but it is hard work and it is a fight, ladies. It is.
Yeah.
We cannot just sit there and allow, and it's so ingrained in the system.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is so ingrained in the system that unless we understand who we are,
yeah,
and are willing to work to make that better,
yeah,
we can't just sit back.
Yeah, that's so true. And it does need to be addressed, I suppose, in today's society. And something happened, I don't know what it was, a couple of months ago, I can't even remember what we were doing, but we were doing something, and I was going to help my dad with something, and then he immediately said, oh, can Darren do it, like my husband? And I was like, hang on a minute, I'm as strong as Darren is, and in my family everybody knows that I am strong, as in like physically strong. And then I was like, hang on a minute, what about me? And he was like, oh yeah, I didn't think of you.
It's so ingrained in the system, isn't it?
I'm standing right here.
and not that he doesn't love you and respect you, he does, but it's part of him because he's part of the system.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing.
It's mad.
But you're also his daughter, so you know, there's a certain love of that.
So why is it crucial that we do, I suppose, bring it up and speak up about women's equality, especially in today's society? I suppose one of that is part of it.
Yeah, but I think it's also like you just did with your father.
Mm.
Okay. I think it's important when you hear remarks that you don't come right out and insult the person.
Yeah.
For example, in a meeting, I would make my eyes roll or something like that, but I wouldn't insult the person, but I would take him later and either talk to the leader or talk to him. I wouldn't let it go.
Yeah.
But I would try not to do it in a way that would make it almost impossible for me to come back.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think those are really important. You're not backing down, but you're doing it your way to make it work.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important.
Yes. Yeah. And then I suppose going back through history as well, so many people, so many women have struggled for this, for what you do, fighting for equality. And now I suppose more and more people are not letting it go, like you. So you've written this book and you're hoping that other women will speak up on behalf of themselves. But historically,
I
it doesn't.
Am.
Yeah.
And many of the women, I have given talks to many of the women who have been through those battles, both at the end of the 90s and into the 21st century, people who are continuing to fight it. And they really, what I want them to do is to be inspired to get their energy back.
Yeah.
You know, because it takes energy to do it no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
I have a t-shirt that one of my dear friends sent me, and it said, I am woman. I am resolute. I am tired.
Love that.
And we are tired. We've done a lot of this.
Yeah.
So we've got to be re-energized with our daughters and our granddaughters.
Yeah.
And join hands with them and say, we've got to do this, girls. We've got to. We can't let your life be one of continuing to fight the same battles over, because they will be the same battles if this goes through.
Yeah. Yeah. It will be, definitely. And I think as well, like, we've got a 6-year-old daughter and a 9-year-old son, and a lot of people will say, oh, Brianna's really cute. And then I'm thinking, yes, she is cute, but she's also strong and strong-willed and all of the bigger qualities. It's like, and then if someone says that, I'll be like, oh yeah, that's really nice. But also, you are strong. You know that you're strong, and you know that mummy's strong. And yeah, it's just trying to put it in her head again, because a lot of people will say that to girls, I suppose, oh, you're cute, or do you want to dress up in a cute little dress? But then it's trying to change that,
trying to let them understand that they're more than that, much more than that.
Yeah.
You know, I am so proud of you, because I came from strong women, and I did not like them when they were being strong, but they were strong. My story in the my first story in the book begins with my grandmother, who told me I had a mouth on me.
That's good.
And she did not like my mouth. And my mother was very strong. And because of that Irish Catholic rules I was telling you about,
yes,
was very imposing. Mm. And I tell some of those stories. So I don't think today's mothers are as dictatorial.
Yeah.
But they still have to be leaders of those children. They have to be parents.
Yeah.
They can't just be friends. Actually, they can't be friends many, many times.
Yes.
They have to be parents.
Yeah.
And of course, you know that with your 9-year-old and 6-year-old.
Yeah. It is hard. It's really hard. I wouldn't change it, obviously, but it's amazing.
Yes, no, and most women will not change it in any way.
Yeah.
But they are struggling and we need to be there to support them.
Yes, yeah, definitely. And then from that, how can we kind of take the steps to ensure that this progress that you're doing, as so many other women are doing, that it just continues? So do we pass it on to our daughters and for it to kind of keep rolling, keep momentum?
Yes. And I think you're in a position where you have yoga. You're in a position where you have podcasts. Mm. You certainly can pass it on more easily than a lot of people.
Yeah, true.
But I had the opportunity to go up to Stanford University. My granddaughter is a doctoral student up there in mechanical engineering.
Oh, wow.
And she invited me up to talk to the doctoral students. I think those kind of efforts, getting in to the universities, getting into education, getting into just about any place you can get so that you can give your message and that you can encourage them, ask them what they're doing, where do they need help?
Yeah.
Those are, and then get them out to vote when the voting comes.
Yeah.
And that's my strong message in America, because it's at the local level that things are going to change.
And what is the percentage now of it? Is it that women are voting more and more now? Or is it still mainly male?
No, they are voting. But when they vote, they're not necessarily voting for their own interests.
Yeah.
That's what I think is, that's why our message is so important.
Yeah.
Sometimes they are dependent on their partner's vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sometimes they are dependent on those in power.
Yeah. Yeah.
To listen to those in power.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to read and understand what the values are.
Yeah.
And what you have to do.
Yeah, definitely. Now we are going to go to a short break. See you the other side. Welcome to Inside Timer, the number one free app for sleep, anxiety, and stress, with more than 100,000 guided meditations led by the best teachers from Great Britain and around the world. I am a teacher on this platform and it is amazing for sleep, anxiety, everything really. So come on over and check it out. It's a free app and it has over 20 million meditators on there. I have over 25 meditations for you to choose from, as well as the Goddess Academy of Light course. You will learn so much on this course and you have made the right decision to be here and be part of this amazing self-taught academy journey. This is a self-taught 14-day course that you can take at your own pace. Everything, if it is getting too much for you, you are struggling with your relationships, you're struggling with life, this is one course that you need in your life. You will learn how to meditate and journal so you have a clearer headspace to come at your relationship. You will learn how to use EFT, tapping method,
for you to feel completely stress-free. You will use breath work. You will know how to sleep better, have self-care and nutrition. You will learn yoga techniques, movement, exercise for you to be able to move through challenging times within your relationship and for you to be able to survive whatever it is that life and your relationship throws at you. You will also learn how to communicate with your partner better. And there are so many more different techniques and tools for you to have the best relationship with your partner and yourself. So come on over onto the Insight Timer meditation app. It is free to download. Just search it wherever you download your apps from, and I will see you there.
Because also with I don't follow my husband for his vote. We tell each other what we're going to do, but we are sometimes different. And when it came to Brexit, whenever that was, 2012 or I don't know, whenever it was, I voted in and Darren voted out, and it could have been like he could have influenced me, but I was like, well, I don't actually know enough about it, and I know that I've been brought up with us being in the EU, so I'm going to vote that way. But he could have had like a massive influence over me, and I think a lot of men probably did with their wives, but yeah.
They did. I'm sure they did. But yeah. Women, I believe, when it comes to their own values, when it comes to what affects them and their children, will think for themselves.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's really important.
That's strong.
And, and to have good discussions with their husbands.
Yeah.
Many husbands are feminists.
Yeah.
You know, they do support their wives. They do support their girls and their daughters.
Yeah.
And we have to support them in that, you know, and thank them for it.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important.
Yeah. And do you fight for, I don't know if this comes under it, it probably does, like gender pay gap things. Like we have that I don't know if that's the same kind of thing.
I gave a talk at the Rotary Club, local Rotary Club, and one of the women got up and talked about the really trouble they have in the valley where we live with pay discrimination.
Oh, wow.
And it's really an issue. Much of the issue also, and you know, it got worse with the pandemic.
Yeah,
it got worse because women had to go home because children had to go home.
Yeah,
and we had that. Somebody had to keep working.
Yeah,
so that they could eat.
Yeah,
I mean, the pandemic was just a major, major. I would call it a revolution.
Yeah,
in our world.
Yeah,
everybody had to go through something.
Yeah. Yeah.
During that period of time.
Definitely.
And many women have lost their jobs as a result of it.
Yeah.
And haven't returned to the workplace or even haven't returned to the work itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of women have decided to become entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one of the great things in the United States is many women are running for office. Do you that? Happening in England?
Yeah. For
and
Parliament.
That's where I think we need to be selective of, are these women supporting us?
Yeah.
Are they supporting our health rights? Are they supporting our right to abortion, our right to whatever that we need?
Yeah.
Our right to have childcare.
Yes. That's a massive one, especially
to make
here.
Sure we're, I mean, that's a big, big deal.
Mm.
And do we recognize these things we need?
Yeah.
And are we out there making our voice heard?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes. Totally.
Yeah.
And what have you had any significant impacts that have impacted you and your family or the people that you work with? Like you've had a massive, I don't know what the word is, like win, I suppose, from this. Like when you've spoken to people.
I won my lawsuit with the small business government.
Yes.
and the corporations eventually formed an association to allow women to do contracts with them.
Wow.
And to give them the same kind of support they were giving to men and to, you know, for the longest time we've had the good old boy system within corporations.
Yeah.
And even today, that system still exists.
Yeah.
You know, you probably have friends who work for corporations who will tell you, this guy comes in, works for 2 years and gets a management job or a supervisory job.
Yeah.
And I didn't because I was pregnant for 9 of those months, you know, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So it is something that's very much present today that we need to be looking at.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, when I used to make progress. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It always will be a progress, though.
I mean, there are more women in college today in the United States than men.
Wow.
52% are women.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. That's a very good statistic.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is worldwide, but I do know it is true in the United States. So if we've made progress, I think other people have too.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Certainly hope so.
Yeah. And also, like, in sport as well, we here in England have more, only in the last couple of years actually, where women's sport has been more televised, like women's football, soccer, women's cricket as well. The tennis is kind of the same, but yeah. And how do you kind of, how can we start to break the gender stereotypes, especially in sport? Or in anything, really, I suppose. Like, yeah, politics, we've kind of said that, but in anything like that.
There's so many issues today for women in sports.
Yeah.
There's the transgender issue that's becoming an issue. How do you support women and support transgender rights, etc.?
Yeah.
In sports.
Yeah.
That's a huge issue right now.
Yeah.
There are other issues that I think that I think progress has been made in universities where more money is going to women's sports.
Yeah.
And not as much as I think we would like, but efforts have been made. Things are getting a little better. And then women also have another life.
Yes.
You know, I talk about, you got to get out there and fight, my friends, but I know you also have kids, and I know you also work, and I know you also have your friends and your husband or your partner, whatever. But you know, we are so ingenious.
Mm.
We women are creative.
Yes.
And we are ingenious.
Yeah.
Go with your gut.
Yeah. I always say that, definitely. That's my go-to.
Please do not be afraid to use your voice.
Mm-hmm.
You are important. And other women are important. And you need to use your voice for yourself and for them.
Yes.
So don't be intimidated. It takes a lot of courage, though.
Yeah. I think as I've got older as well, I'm 40 now. And I think as I've got older, I'm more willing to speak out, whereas in my 20s I'd be like, no, I can't say that for fear of upsetting someone. But now it's like, yeah, whatever, I don't care.
That's good, because I think you have influenced 20-year-olds.
Yes.
I think 20-year-olds are now saying, I'm not going to take this anymore.
Yeah.
This is, for example, the whole climate change that's happening.
Yes.
It's the young people that are pushing it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that includes you, by the way.
Thanks.
Really? My generation has not left a good world for you.
Yeah.
And
it's hard.
You know, we've got to do what we can to make the climate better.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Oh.
That is so true.
Now I'm putting more work on women. Now we should just stick to the women's issues.
And what are, now we're kind of going through the ages, I suppose, then what are some of the unique challenges that women, like single women, will face in retirement, being what we've just spoken about?
Oh, single women
so much.
In retirement, first of all, financial is a real issue.
If they have
not planned, or if the, you know, one of the big things is late marriage divorce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women who are older.
Yeah.
I have a I have a podcast about a woman who was 70 and after 29 years of marriage got a divorce, and wow. She initiated it.
Oh wow.
And she knew her life would continue to be what it was if she didn't. Mm. And it was not happy. So she went and figured out, how am I going to make some money? How can I live the life to which I would like to?
Yeah.
The life to which I have become accustomed. And she began to go back into her life. Got to read the story. It's on my AggieJordan.com /blog. I write a blog on, and I'm trying to I'm also trying to deal with ageism. Where
that's true.
people tend to just make stereotypes of people who are older.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
not based on their capability, but based on their age or their looks.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What I'm doing is trying to tell stories of men and women who are over the age of 75 and achieving.
Yeah.
And if they can do it, then let's have them also give back to the younger people.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and there are many people who are doing that or doing what they can to help young boys and girls.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also with people, with women, with partners, how do they kind of approach retirement? Because actually this happens with my nan and granddad. Like, my granddad passed away 5 years ago now, to 2019. But before, when he retired, my nan used to do everything. Like, she used to do the shopping, she used to do the cleaning, she used to do cooking. Well, actually, no, my granddad did the cooking, but it was always her doing everything. Then he retired and he got bored. So then he then took everything over, which then left my nan not doing anything. And then she ended up with dementia because she wasn't using her brain. And he then subsequently died, but now she's still alive. She's in a home for dementia. And she doesn't have a clue what's going on. And it's so, you could just see it as like an outsider-ish, that you could see that happening, that he just took over everything because he was bored. So does that kind of happen a lot?
But she allowed him to do it.
Yes. She is very quiet and doesn't say anything. And yeah, is that age? Well, she's 85 now, I think. He died when he was 85. So it was like a 5-year age gap, I think. And yeah. She was always quiet as a mouse, didn't say anything. Whereas now I think women of your age, at my age, will just not take that.
Yes, very much so. I think also there were many women around that time that allowed their husbands to support them. Mm-hmm. And because he made the money,
yeah,
they gave him the authority.
True.
To make decisions in the house. You know, women, even women at that time, were not respected.
Yeah.
Do you realize the work your grandma put in all those years?
Yeah, and she had three children.
How many children did she have?
Three girls. Grandchildren, you know? I don't know.
See? How many did she raise? How many months and years was she, day in and day out, cleaning, probably taking care of the kids, getting them to school, getting them home, etc.
Yeah.
And many, many times, and sometimes that's even true today.
Yeah.
Gemma.
Yeah.
That people are not, men, partners believe because they're making the money, they should have control over the decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. And that happens
a
lot with my coaching. Yeah.
If it's not a partnership, then it's not an equal marriage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's eventually what happens to marriages if they're not equal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eventually, the person who is unhappy will leave.
Yeah.
And it's not always the woman who leaves.
It's true. Yeah.
So it's who we are as women is so important. And I so admire women. I so admire those women like your grandmother who did all of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have a daughter who has done that. And she, I just love her because she does make the decisions with her partner. And she does make sure that her children are well taken care of.
Yeah. Yeah. And we do that as well in our marriage. We're equal. It's I think it is a lot more people are, but there still needs to be more women speaking out when they're not happy.
Yeah, a lot more people are, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think your story about your grandmother is not unusual.
Yeah. Sad, really. Because we could all see it happening, but then my granddad certainly was like, no, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. And that was just him. But I love him bits.
Right.
But it's really true. It's hard, yeah. But how can then women maintain a sense of purpose and meaning when they get to retirement age? Because your children have left home by then, you've maybe then retired because you've got to that age, you don't need to work anymore because you've got the pay coming in from your retirement package or whatever it is, and then you then lose that sense of purpose.
I think you have to find that sense of purpose, and I think there's so many things that make sense. First of all, be in touch with your creative self. And I know there are women out there saying, oh, I don't have a creative bone in my body. Oh, yes, you do. All of us have that deep creativity. It's not necessarily art or painting or writing, but it can be anything where you find your purpose valuable. People find it in volunteering, people find it in helping other women, people finding it in helping older people, their parents. It's purpose, you're right. Just finding your purpose. And the first thing I would advise people who retire, newly retired, take 6 months and don't make any hard decisions. Just enjoy relaxing, whether you travel or stay home or are out in your garden or sitting down watching TV. Just make it yours.
Yeah.
And don't worry about what you're going to do, because during that time of relaxation you will become creative. But you have to trust yourself. You have to trust yourself, and then you begin to go study. There's so much online that you can learn. It's amazing.
I love that
there's almost no reason to be bored today.
No definitely not. No,
But we also have a lot of mental health issues in the world.
Yeah.
And more because of the pandemic.
Yep. Definitely.
And so please be honest with yourself and be true to yourself. And if you feel you need help, go get some help.
Yeah.
Both men and women.
Yeah.
It's very important it's happened to all of us. The pandemic has had a terrible result for us.
Yes, it has.
And we can't deny it. We just have to say, okay, that's what happened. Now, what do I do about me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Take care
of
yourself.
What do I do about me? Ask that question. And what's inside you? What's deep inside you that tells you something?
Yeah.
If you feel you need help, go get it.
Yeah.
I think you're luckier in the I won't say England, since you're not in the European Union now, but I think you are too, with your for people to help you get help.
Yeah.
Don't you have good mental health?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have much better than we have.
Really? Oh, wow. That's bad.
Yes. Yeah. The European Union does too. Canada does.
Yeah. Canada's massive. Yeah. That's awful. So going back to your book, where can we find your book? Is it on Amazon or it's called?
On Amazon. It's in all bookstores. It can also be found on my website, which is aggiejordan.com. And I have a blog on there, and you can purchase the book on there, or I can send you to Amazon there. So that is one place. And I would just love for you to email me at aggiejordan.com, and I'll be happy to give you just a hello, if nothing else.
Yeah. Oh, that's really nice. And are you on any social media platforms?
I am. I'm on Facebook. And I'm on Twitter, although, you know, recently Twitter hasn't been dynamic.
No, because it hasn't.
Here it is so political.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really go on it. I go on the journal bit, but yeah, that's
fine. Whereas Facebook is more personal and more professional.
Yeah, yeah.
It's for people rather than, I don't think Twitter helps as much as it could.
No, no. It used to, but I think it now, yeah, it's changed.
Yeah, completely. What about Instagram? Are you on Instagram?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram and LinkedIn. Yeah, I don't like Facebook.
And LinkedIn. You don't like, well, you know, I understand why you don't like Facebook.
Yeah, I've hated it for years. Yeah.
Because everything bombards you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
I try to get something on Facebook so I can direct people to my site.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, at least if you can direct them to your site, then it might help.
Yeah,
at least the people you know there.
Yeah definitely. Yeah. And what are two takeaway points from today's conversation?
I think please do not hesitate to get your message out.
Yes.
Whatever your message is, to all women, to you, to young women, to middle-aged women, to old women, let your voice be heard. That is one of my primary ones.
Yeah.
And the other one is learn.
Ooh, yes,
study. Do what you can to improve who you are and improve your environment. And then for everybody who's going to have an election coming up within the next year, learn to vote. Get out there and learn about the candidates that will help you.
Yeah.
That will help you. And you as women, that's my man. And I know this podcast goes out to so many people, so I do hope that helps.
That will. Thank you. Oh, it's been really lovely chatting to you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Gemma. I've enjoyed this.
It's been good. Thank you so, so much for being here with me today. It means the world to me, and my heart is so full of gratitude right now. If you are feeling pulled to, I would love you to leave a review over on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, whatever they're called, or Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast from, whichever platform you are on. Leave a review, even do a 5-star rating if you fancy it. And yes, go and follow me over on Instagram at gemma.haley.niece, or I'm on LinkedIn as Gemma Niece. So thank you so, so much for being here, and always reach out to me. I'm always have my DMs open, as again, Instagram at gemma.haley.niece or LinkedIn, or go on my website, which is www.gemmaniece.com. So thank you so much, and I will see you again next week.